So welcome everyone. After looking at the deposit side of retail banking and the various deposit accounts, and then looking at the loans which the bank gives with how credit appraisal takes place and fair lending practices and the guidelines for recovery agents, we now move into a chapter which is more of a third party product which the bank does. And one of the products that it does as a third party distributor is mutual funds. So what is mutual funds? So mutual fund, in a very simple term, is made up of money that is pooled together by a large number of investors who give their money to the fund managers to invest in stock and or bonds. So it means that a lot of people start giving their amount, whatever they want to invest, and together that becomes a big pool. And then for every fund that is there, there is a fund manager who manages the fund in line with the mandate of the fund. So if the mandate of the fund is to invest in a large top stocks of BSE 100 or BSE 200, then the fund manager decides which are the stocks that he will buy and then holds it and sells it whenever required. And that's how he manages the money, and the returns which the investor gets, it depends on the fund that they have invested, the duration and the market conditions, and accordingly they make huge sum of money at very professional advice given by the fund manager. So in mutual funds, the investor buys the units, and then as we discussed, the funds invest that pool of money or corpus in securities, which can be shares, debentures or money market instrument or bonds. And income earned by the investment is allocated among the investors in proportion to the number of units. Gains are distributed to the investors either by way of dividend or through allocation of additional units. Although this does not happen nowadays, the allocation of additional unit, it is either by way of dividend or increase in NAV. And that's on the growth option. So once the NAV grows, and when you come out, the difference between the NAV at the time of selling and the NAV at the time of purchase is your gain. So what is the role of mutual funds? Mutual funds act like a financial intermediary. They collect money from a lot of small investors and they invest in the market on behalf of them. They manage the corpus and ensures that the funds are run in line with the mandate provided by them. They help in imparting liquidity to the stock market or also towards the bond markets, because they are one of the important buyers of corporate debt or debenture, and also bank CDs in many cases. They also help them helps to move company towards higher corporate governance standard because of their large holdings over a period of time, and using that they vote on important resolution and helps the corporate in a better corporate governance standards. Now, who can invest in mutual fund? All adults, resident individuals, minor but represented by guardians, HUF, companies, corporate bodies, PSU, financial institutions, banks, trust, society, etc. NRIs and PIOs can also invest in mutual funds. FIA, registered, which is foreign investors, registered with SEBI and RBI, can also invest in mutual funds. So what are the advantages of mutual fund? So mutual fund provides an investment products that cater to the need of different kind of investors. And as we go along, we will realize how this statement is very true. It eliminates the burden, the paperwork, and hassles the small investor experience in managing diverse portfolio, because the fund manager does all the investment on your behalf. It provides investment know-how and trading capabilities, which a retail investor will find it very difficult on his own. It provides high degree of liquidity by purchase and sale of securities. It makes it easy to invest by small investors. In fact, the biggest USP of mutual fund is that it makes it very easy for investment by small investors. And also, government provides a range of tax benefits to those who invest in mutual funds. The disadvantage, although it's very minor, as a drawback one can say, that people who actually come into mutual fund and opt for a dividend payout may have to be a little careful, because if the fund does not make a distributable surplus, that means does not have enough corpus to pay dividend, it may not pay dividend for a particular period. And so people who look forward for dividend as way of income will find it difficult to invest. Also, individual discrimination is not available. So that means a retail investor with 1000 rupee and an investor with 1 lakh or 10 lakh rupees or 25 lakh rupees is treated same. So it is either all or none trading in the fund's portfolio. But this again is a disadvantage or drawbacks only for investors who are extremely well informed. As a general principle, this kind of drawback is not at all applicable and may not even come right. And as for the dividend payout, it actually depends on an individual. If you just don't select dividend and go for growth, then this issue is also not there. So there are different types of mutual fund schemes. They are open-ended scheme, closed-ended schemes, equity scheme, income, balanced, sectorial, money market funds, gilt funds, bond funds, index fund, short-term funds, ultra-short-term funds, and many more. So what is an open-ended scheme? An open-ended scheme is where subscription and redemptions are open throughout the year, except the period of book closure. Number of units outstanding varies from time to time due to buy and sell. There is no fixed number of units issued. So capital keeps on changing, share capital if you want to call it, for want of exchange. Open-ended schemes are typically not listed on stock exchange, and units are purchased and sold through mutual funds only or an RTA, register and transfer agent. The purchase and sale happens at a NAV, which is net asset value. They may or may not have specified redemption period, so you could redeem whenever you wish to redeem. Closed-ended scheme open only during specified period. Units have fixed maturity periods, which varies from 1 year to 3 years, 5 years, 15 years schemes are no longer there in the market as of now, as we speak. After initial offer, closed-ended fund is listed on stock exchange. An investor can purchase and sell these units only through stock exchanges and not through mutual funds, AMCs that is. Closed-ended schemes generally trade at discount to NAV, but the discount narrows as the date of maturity approaches. Growth or equity fund. So growth fund objective is to provide maximum returns in a form of capital appreciation over medium to long term by investing directly into equities. Fund may be diversified in nature or sector specific, and equity funds have given excellent dividends when stock markets have risen sharply. Income scheme. So it is aimed at maximizing current income of investors. A scheme is debt oriented, provides interest at regular intervals. There is less capital appreciation, although if you invest with a view on inflation and the 10-year government gilt fund, you may get capital appreciation also. Income scheme normally provides higher returns than bank fixed deposits, and many income schemes invest about 15% of corpus in equity, as a result of which they have potential to provide much higher returns than a pure bond fund. Balanced fund. Under this fund, the funds are invested both in shares and fixed income securities. Returns to investors are moderate and at a moderate risk. Typical debt equity ratio is 60-40, and to really call it an equity scheme, the investment has to be more than 65% in equity funds. Sector funds. So sector funds portfolio is built around particular sector or thematic funds or theme. So some examples of it is IT theme, FMCG theme and things like that, or banking theme. It is comparatively more riskier than diversified fund, However, if that theme works out and plays out in the market, then the returns are much, much higher, as much more than the average return which we would get in diversified fund. Money market funds. Money market funds are those funds which provide easy liquidity, and preservation of capital is most important thing. It's low risk. It invests in papers which are of a lower duration, and therefore there is a low interest risk scenario that comes here. Returns fluctuate depending on the interest rate prevailing in the market. Gilt funds. In gilt funds, the investment is typically done in government bonds. So sovereign securities issued by central government or state government as well in some scenarios. It's a very low risk where the investment is very safe. Investments have the highest credit rating because it's backed by the government. The default risk is zero. However, so there are PF funds, gratuity funds who invest in 100% scheme floated by mutual funds for gilt investments. Bond fund, it's a different form of income fund where the corpus is invested in bonds of various duration. It provides good returns. However, it's a call on the returns of a 10-year yield that you're working on. So, if the call comes out right, you make good money out of it. However, if the interest rate calls does not come out right, then you get an average return or sometimes less than average returns. Index fund. The fund has an objective of tracking one of the popular market indexes. The return on index fund will be approximate change in index that is used as a base. And it's one of the passive avenues. It's also a great entry point for a new investor to come through index fund and invest in mutual funds. Price. When units are purchased in initial offer, price is normally 10 rupees. And when it is purchased other than issue purchase, the price is NAV. There was a time when we had a front end load. So NAV. Now we don't have a front end load. So therefore, it's only at the price of NAV. In case of closed-ended fund, purchase is based on a price that is quoted on either stock exchange if it is listed. If it is not listed, then it is at the NAV again, which is getting published daily at the AMFI website. So with that, we also come to an end of a session on mutual funds. Thank you for listening.